right, welcome to episode 3 of the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast. I'm your host, Jason Katarski, and I'm here again with reoccurring character, Andy Lennox. How's it going, dude?
Great, how's it going?
Excellent, excellent. I'm glad that we're still here, 3 episodes in, and this thing is still
we're established now.
Oh yeah, it's official. So today we're going to keep it simple. We're going to see how close we can get to that 20-minute mark. So the theme for this show is something we introduced briefly in the last episode where I interviewed Chris Kirkman. And that theme is something old, something new.
You should listen to that episode even though I'm not in it.
Totally. It's 20% better. So the basic idea is that each of us are going to share one game, one of us talking about a filler that's a little more classic, and the other talking about something a little more fresh. But first, one of our listeners, we actually have listeners.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
made the suggestion that we help you guys get to know us a little better, since our recommendations might make more sense if you know a little bit more about our individual gaming tastes. So let's talk a little bit about that. So let's get to know Andy Lennox.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Okay, so... So, Andy.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite game of all time, whether it's a filler or not?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, I couldn't really narrow it down that well. So, I picked 3 because I'm cheating at this. So, I'm gonna say it's a 3-way tie between Diplomacy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nasty.
Coup. And Tales of the Arabian Nights. So they all sort of fill different niches for me. Well, Diplomacy and Coup kind of step on each other's toes a little bit. But I just love Diplomacy. It's so hard to get it to the table because it takes so long. It takes all day to play. You can play a shorter game, but it's not, you know, it's not quite as fulfilling. You gotta go like 3-4 hours to get the full effect.
I pretty much guarantee I'll never play that game.
Oh, you have to. I would love to play with you because I think you'd be awesome at it. Like, just the interactions that, like, the game, once you know the game board and how it works, like, that totally fades into the background, and it's all about
kissing babies and shaking hands.
Oh, it's amazing. kicking babies and shaking hands.
Awesome.
And then Coup, because it's because of the same thing, but it distills that whole table dynamic down to a very short game. There's a lot, like, the bluffing and lying to each other, like, how often do you just get to boldface lie to your friends and then take advantage of them? Like, I love doing that, but I don't want to, like, actually lose their friendship.
You don't want to do that in real life?
Yeah.
But you're itching for the chance.
Yeah, and then Tales of the Arabian Nights, because it's every time I play that game with anybody, they love it, and it's a stupid good time, and you start off some rich merchant, and you end up, like, an insane beggar who like lost all their money to a genie and like got zapped by a wizard. Like, it's amazing. Like, every time you play it, it's something crazy different.
And that's one of those games that you play more for the story experience than the actual game.
The gameplay is meh. Like, take it or leave it. But just the experience and the story that gets told is pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, that's 3 favorite games of all time.
Sorry. What's your favorite game, Jason?
My favorite game of all time, this one just pops into my head instantly. It's Ticket to Ride by Alan Moon. It was the game that sealed the deal for me. I got in on Catan, but then I played Ticket to Ride. Actually, Ticket to Ride Marklin was my first experience, which is a great version.
Does that one have the passengers?
Yeah, it has the passengers. If you're going along the line at some point, it's got this nice pressure luck feature. And that was the first way to play it. So to play Ticket to Ride after that was a little bit like field scaled back. You feel a little more reserved. But I just love it. It's an elegant game. It was similar enough to something like Rummy, but with enough strategy and kind of decision in there to just keep me coming back. And I'm way behind in getting the map collections. But I'm definitely looking forward to the new 10-year anniversary box set.
Oh, that
Have you seen
beautiful.
This? The
that
giant kind of molded trains, the 50% bigger boards.
How much is it going to be?
It's going to be $100. So, but dude,
Christmas
present. I'll go and I'll spend $100 on 2 games at a convention, you know? So,
Well,
my birthday's on Christmas too. So, like, I can put those 2 together maybe. But I really, really, really want to get my hands on that awesome looking game. All right. So, next question is what game do you think you have played more than any other game?
I'm not proud, but it's Legend of the Five Rings collectible card game.
Oh, you're such a geek.
I know. It's a frustrating thing because I love the gameplay of that game, but like, it's stuck in this CCG model and you it's pay to play. But I've played so much of that game. Like, I've gone a couple of years with, like, that was the main game I played. I barely ever played anything else. Deck building is a nightmare, but just the gameplay of it's really great. There's, like, different locations that you can attack, and, like, the mind games that you play with each other, trying to, like, I'm sending my army over here, but then moving them over here and psyching you out. There's some really good pieces of that game that I wish were more, that were in a smaller game that was easier to play.
Okay, cool. So my game that I played more than any other game is, besides The Great Harlan Coben Company, because that's my game, I don't think I should count that one, would probably be Carcassonne, which is, it's one of my favorites, but it's my wife's absolute favorite.
I don't get that one to the table nearly enough. I own it, I just don't play it enough.
Yeah, it's just the length of time is right. If you're playing vanilla Carcassonne or throwing one expansion in, 25 minutes, and we haven't probably played it in
what's
about...
What's like the one expansion I should get?
I would say there's between two. I would either get Inns and Cathedrals,
okay,
or Traders and Builders.
Okay,
those are my two favorites. Sweet. Yeah. So that's a good one. All right, now a quick one, just kind of speed dating, get to know you question. Just top of your head kind of stuff here. What are three desert island games?
Robinson Crusoe, Castaways, and Forbidden Island.
That game's the themes of desert islands.
Oh. Sorry. All right. First one, Dungeons and Dragons, endless replayability. You're stuck on a desert island with four dudes, like, you can play Dungeons and Dragons for the rest of your life. The second one, Go, because I always wanted to be good at Go, and I'm terrible at it, and I can only ever figure out what the heck I'm doing on the small board. I don't know if you've ever played Go, but...
I got a nice 3M version right
there
on the
shelf. Oh, it's
so
hard. And everyone always beats me, even if they've never played before, and I'm terrible at it. But I would bring that to a desert island so I could hone my skills and come back a champion. And then a huge box of random game components.
That's cheating. Yeah. Sure.
So that I could make games.
Yeah.
So that's those are my cheater answers.
Awesome. Well, you know, this one... I was just thinking of Rage. The it's a trick-taking card game for a similar reason. It's just a bunch of numbered cards. Six suits of blank cards. So yeah, we can make up a whole bunch of different games with these.
Yeah.
And then the other ones, I'm thinking of something, maybe Dexterity. I guess if you're on a desert island, you could probably make a Dexterity game out of, like, coconuts or something. So yeah, I wouldn't want to bring Crokinole. It's a little big. But Crokinole could provide shelter. Like, you could
a dinner table. You make a lean-to out of your Crokinole board.
Absolutely. So I'm going with that. Crokinole, Rage, just because of the versatility. And then...
Twilight Imperium, so you can sail home in the box.
That's good. No, I'll go with... might as well go with Ticket to Ride. I don't know.
All right.
That's tough. I'm not really thinking about playing games if I'm on a desert island, to be honest. No. So, all right, so let's move on. That was the get-to-know-you portion. I hope you feel just warm and cozy with us now. But we're going to move on to the meat of the episode, which is something old, something new. And this time, Andy is going to be the one to talk about something old, so he gets to go first.
All right.
So why don't you just, share about the game you're going to talk about. Give us just a quick overview.
All right, so the game I am going to recommend today is Battle Line. It's a Reiner Knizia game. It came out in 2000. It is a remake of a game called Schadentaten, which came out like the year before. But Schadentaten is like one part of it, and then Battleline adds like the second deck, and I'll get into that in a minute. It's a two-player only card game. There's a deck of 60 cards that are numbered from 1 to 10, and they're six different colors. There's another deck called the Tactics deck, and I'll get into that in a second. And then there's nine flags. So you set up nine flags in the middle of the table between you and your opponent. And you've got these six, you deal a hand of seven cards to each person. And then at each flag, you are allowed to play three cards total over the course of the whole game. And you can play them, you can play the cards at any flag you want. And on your turn, you play a card and then draw a card. And you can draw from either the troops deck, which is the numbered colored cards, or the tactics deck.
Okay.
So you can play one card at any flag. So the idea is to create sets of three cards that are like a troop formation. And those are sort of like rummy sets. So any three cards that don't have any relationship to each other is like the lowest. And the best is like a run of three that is the same color. So 2, 3, 4, purple.
Okay.
All purple is, like, the best. So you're trying to get these sets. When you finally get a set made, once you've played three cards and then your opponent's played three cards, you can determine who the winner of that flag is. You put it on your side. If you get...
Like, at that moment. Like, you don't have to wait till the end of the game?
No, you just... Okay. Once the three cards are played on either side of the flag, then you determine who's the winner of that flag. And the first person to get three adjacent flags or five total flags wins the game. And then there's the tactics deck. So the tactics deck has, like, leaders in it, which are, like, wild cards. There's, like, cards that, let you move a card from one area to another. Cards that, like, make your opponent discard a card from one of their formations. And just special little things like that.
How do you get those?
You can choose to draw the tactics card instead of a troop card if you play.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I absolutely adore this game. It's so good. Like, it's one of the best two-player games I've ever played. Like,
yeah, I've seen this thing on list after list of, like, recommended games. But the theme has always kind of kept me away from it because I'm not sure if it's going to be a game my wife would like.
The theme is, it's very lightly tacked on. It could have really been anything, but I think it goes...
It's a Kanitsia game.
I think it goes really well with the... It's actually a little bit more thematic than other Kanitsia games I've played because you are making these formations of troops because, like, the ones are all, like, legionnaires and the twos are all this other thing. And if they're in the same suit or whatever, then they're a specific formation. And if you make the formations with these troops, you win that flag. So it is a little bit more thematic.
Cool.
And it does feel a little wargamey, which is kind of neat, but it's still very light. You can play a game in 20 minutes.
Awesome.
The really cool part about this game is as you're playing cards, if you can logically prove that your opponent cannot win a battle, you can win that flag before they play their three cards. So you can say they have the 1-2, they have a yellow 1 and 2, and you have an orange 1, 2, and 3. If you see the yellow 3 somewhere, which is the only card that they could, or that's a bad example. Say they have a 2-3. Say they have. Let me. You have the 1, 2, 3 of yellow.
Okay.
They have the 2, 3, 4 of orange, or they have the 2 and the 3 of orange, and if the 1 and the 4, like the things, the 1 and the 4 of the orange would be the cards they needed to complete that formation, the only formation that could beat you. If you can show that they're elsewhere in play, then you win that flag automatically.
Oh, wow.
So you can, if you can figure out what's on the board and play your cards right and play them strategically, you can win flags without them playing that third card, which gives you an advantage because you've already won that flag. It gives them one less place to put cards because you can't play cards at a flag that's won. And it's really encourages this sort of, like, logical thinking where you're like, okay, if they do this and I do this and I do this, like, it's a very thinky, but it's not over the top, and it's really fun to kind of count the cards and figure out, okay, what's left and what can I work with. The strategy of the game is all, like, what is the probability? What probability do I have left of drawing this card or making this formation? Or how can I make start a formation now that I can finish later? And what's the probability that I'll be able to actually finish it? And then when you get stuck, then you're like, okay, well, now I need to draw tactics cards to try and, like, unstick myself. I would recommend this game for really anyone. I played it with my wife, and she likes lighter games, and she picked up on it really quickly.
That's cool.
I think it'd be a good introduction to, like, deeper strategy games for anybody. It's not that it is a deeper strategy game, because it's sort of like you're playing nine hands of a trick taking game at the same time.
Yeah, but it's light enough to get into, but yes. At the same time, it has some real, like, there's decisions, some good kind of thought processes you
should
there's work.
Tough decisions because you'll have a bunch of cards in your hand that don't form sets, and you have to pick, okay, where am I going to put this crap card? I have to put it somewhere. I'll put it way over at the end of the battle line, and hopefully I can draw into something that'll help me with that, or maybe I can draw some tactics cards. Like, it's tough to, like, decide. Or I have two nines, or I have this eight and a nine of the same color. Like, how am I going to play these so that I'll definitely be able to beat this and win this flag? It's really I want to play it right now after talking.
Well, I want to play it too. I've never played it. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that one. That's Battle Line by Rainer Knizia. You know, that cards in the middle thing reminds me of several of his other games. Like, we were battling Gold Digger. There's a little bit of Lost Cities. Botswana, which was used to be called Loco. They all have that kind of feel where you're battling back and forth over these things. So that's kind of a little theme I've never really put together, or a characteristic I've never put together for Knizia's games. But, yeah, some of them are hits for me, and some of them are misses. But this one sounds like it's a hit, so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Cool.
All right, so let's move on to something new. I want to talk about a little card game from Germany, and it's called 23 by Christoph Baer, and it was published by Amigo. So this one might be a little bit harder to find because it doesn't have a U.S. publisher, but I was able to score a copy from a little website called Game Surplus, a neat online store that imports lots of German games. So even though it was tough to get a copy, it's well worth the effort to really find it. So the basic idea of the game is this. You have this deck of cards, and it is numbered 1 through 23, and there's 1 1, 2 2s, and 3 of every other card. Plus, you have these green bonus chips and these purple penalty chips. So I would put it in the same family as maybe like a no-thanks type of game, because you're playing these cards as close as you can in sequential order, but it's like a climbing game. So the way that the game works is whoever has the one plays the one first, and then you go around the table, and whoever can play the next card, whoever's next plays the next highest card. So if they have the two, they put one or all their two, both their twos down. If they can't play the next number in numerical order, they're going to play whatever they have. So you have a four. If you go from 1 to 4, you have to take 2 penalty chips for the space in between. And then, if you have too big of a gap, you can turn in one of your bonus chips that lets you skip up to 5. So you can go straight from 1 to 6. And you just go around the table. You first get a hand of 15 cards, and you discard 3 of them, kind of figuring out what you've got and what your best bet is. If you can manage to play your last card, you give 3 of your penalty chips back. You do that twice. So you deal out the cards, choose 15, play around until everybody's out. If you're out of cards, or if you can't play anymore, then you say, well, I pass. And if you pass, you can take one chip and then play again on the next turn. But then you can say, I'm out of the round. And if you say you're out of the round, you have to take one chip for every card that's left in your hand. So you do that whole process twice, and then whoever has the least amount of those penalty points at the end of the game wins. So it's this just really simple little game. And Lisa and I have been playing it a lot, two-player. We've probably played it a dozen times in the last week. And it's a nice two-player game. But then today, we pulled Andy into the mix and played a three-player game, and it amplified the nastiness of this game.
It's pretty diabolical.
Yeah, it just... It went crazy because then you have three people. And yet before, you're thinking, how can I play sequential numbers? There's three of each. So chances are, you know, I'm going to we're going to go back and forth. But when somebody comes along, they're going to maybe play their bonus chip and skip 5 and stick the other two players with 3 or 4 cards each. So it can be a nasty game if you figure out how to set your hand up. So that's where the game is. The game is, what cards am I going to discard? What am I going to keep? What are my best bets for being able to play all these cards without having to take these penalty chips?
There's some really neat decisions in there that you have to make. Where do I spend my bonus chip and skip a card that I have in my hand because it's going to potentially hose everybody else? You know, if you think that the other people have a lot of numbers in that zone and you skip a bunch of numbers, you might be giving up the chance to play one card, but you might be sticking the other two players with 3 or 4 points.
Absolutely.
So I really liked it. I want to play it again. I want to try it with 4.
Yeah, I want to do that too. And I would recommend this for anybody who likes a traditional, like a trick-taking game. You know, there's enough strategy in it for like maybe a euchre player or a hearts player, or just somebody who likes a good card game. And there's no color issues with suits and stuff, so a color, it has colorblind friendliness, and it's a small box. It's like 66 cards. It's a little harder to find, like I said, but you know, for a game that takes about 15 minutes to play, it's it's a good one to throw in your backpack and take along with you. Well, folks, it's time to wrap up because we're going to try to stick as close as we can as 20 minutes. So I just want to thank you for listening. Please share our show with others on your social media networks. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in iTunes. You can find me at Jason Katarski on Twitter if you want to interact with us. Andy is
at Andy_Lennox.
Awesome. And once again, we want to thank our sponsor, Mark 3 Graphic Design, for helping us out with getting us off the ground with these first three episodes. If you need design work done, please check out Mark3graphicdesign.com for more info. So until next time, we just want to wish you lots of fun-filled gaming with your family and friends.